Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
True story. Man living outside of Washington, D.C., had a couple of yellow labs. Just, you know how labs are, just energetic, always bouncing around. His next door neighbor raised these exotic rabbits. And so you can imagine how he felt one night when he was calling the dogs in, and standing on the porch as one of his labs had a rabbit in his mouth, a dead rabbit in his mouth. He's like, oh my gosh, he panicked. So he gingerly took the rabbit out of the dog's mouth, and he took it over to the sink, and he washed all the dirt off of it. Then he took it into his bathroom, and he got the blow dryer, and he blew it all dry, nice and fluffy. Then, when it was really late, he went over into his neighbor's backyard and opened the hutch and put the rabbit back in the hutch, closed the door. He thought he had gotten away with his crime. Next morning, heard a loud knock on the door, and he opened the door, and his neighbor is steaming. Man's holding the rabbit. He's like, Frank, we got a sickie in this neighborhood, a real sickie. Frank's like, really, what? He said, My rabbit died a couple of days ago, and I buried him, and someone dug him up, cleaned him off, and put him back in the rabbit hole. Man, I hope that brother could play poker. I hope he just went, oh, that's horrible. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that's going to sound a little unusual, but if you'll stay with me, I'll show you from the scriptures where it's a real thing. We'll talk about limitations. And we're going to look at it from a couple perspectives, but I really want to talk about taking the limits off of Jesus. Now, that might sound a little different, but stay with me. If you think of limiting factors in our life, I can list a few. One is lack of knowledge. If you don't know something, it can limit you. A number of years ago, when I was in outside sales before we started the church, I went by a Wendy's. I was going to get something to eat through the drive-in, but I just happened to check my wallet before I went, and man, I had no money in my wallet, so I had to skip the drive-through, and was a little hungry. And when I got to the hotel, I didn't realize I had hidden like a $20 bill in my wallet in a secret compartment. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, why didn't you tap your phone? Because this is 1980-something, and the only phone tapping was done by the FBI. There was no phone tapping. You didn't have cash, you're not eating. But I didn't know I had cash. I could have gotten plenty of food, but I didn't know I had it. So what we don't know can hurt us. It can limit us. Fear is a limiter. How many times do you hear people say, I studied for this test, and I did so bad. And I hear people say this, I can't take taste. I'm afraid. And that becomes a barrier. It'll hold you back. And that's a whole nother message. I won't go into that. I will tell you this. Fear is not coming from the Lord. Over and over again, the Bible, God says, don't fear, fear not. And he helps us get rid of fear. And I tell you, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more fear can diminish in your life. Another limiting factor would be wrong beliefs, believing wrong. Man was walking across a field with his grandson. He's a farmer, and he raised cattle. And they came to the electric fence, the man and his grandson, and the grandfather looked around, put both hands on the electric fence, and stepped over. And the grandson was like, ooh, he was expecting him to get shot. And so when they got on the other side, he said, Papa, why did you grab that electric fence? Was there no electricity? He said, no, it's too expensive to run the electricity all the time. He said, I just run it for a little while, and when the cows brush up against it, they figure out that if there's a shock there. He said, you notice the grass is a lot taller over here. They won't come near it. He said, well, why'd you look around before you crossed the fence? He said, I didn't want them to see me and to figure out that there was no electricity in that fence. you say, well, you know, I'm smarter than a cow. No, I honestly, all of us have wrong beliefs that are limited. And so that's one of the beautiful things about, again, having a relationship with the Lord. We begin to correct our beliefs, and it takes the limits off. Here's the other one, capacity. Capacity is a limiter. And in my family, we're three children, all grown now, but man, when we grew up, we were just very honest with our kids, maybe too honest. But, you know, we never looked at our kids and went, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. I know parents say that, and that sounds real good. Usually you see that being said by amazing athletes and people who have like real giftings, like people who just have a beautiful voice, and they're like, you know, if you just try hard enough, you can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. We spent a lot of money on my daughter for singing lessons, and I finally looked at her, I went, girl, this is not your gift. Because I didn't want my kids to be the ones to show up on American Idol. We've seen them before. When they sing, dogs are howling, and they're like, no, you don't pass. You're like, well, my mama said I could sing. Well, your mama lied to you. No. So we talk about capacity. I wanted to play basketball. I'm 5'10", can't dunk, couldn't go to my left. I'm not going to play NBA basketball. And so there is a capacity that's a limiting factor, but there is an area of our life that has unlimited capacity. And it might catch you by surprise. It's our ability to have a relationship with the Lord. That's an unlimited capacity. Let me show you something here. This is in the scripture. Paul is writing to the church. He's not writing to preachers. He's writing to the church. He said, God is faithful, by whom you were called, that word's invited, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He called us. That's invited us. People say, well, I'm not called. Alan, you're called. You're called to be a pastor. Listen, all of us are called to have a relationship with the Lord and in fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship is the enjoyable part of a relationship. You know, Joy and I, when we got married, I'd look at her and go, okay, we're married. We have a marriage. You go your way, I go my way, but we have a marriage. No, the joy of that is in the fellowship, the getting to know one another, the coming together, the going close in the relationship. That's where the joy is. And we have the ability, the capacity to have a close relationship with the Lord. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. You can be as close to the Lord as you want to be. I see a lot of times people say, no, Alan. That's not me. If the Lord wants to be close to me, he will be close to me. No. It's a lot more up to us than it is up to him. You say, well, you're going to show me scripture. I am so glad you asked. Look at this. This is Jesus talking in Revelation. We've been reading the book of Revelation in Bible 365. If you're new here, everybody at the Art Church reads Bible 365. At least these five people over here do, but it takes about 3.5 minutes a day. But behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus talking. If anyone hears my voice, I will knock down the door and come in whether he likes it or not. I didn't read that right. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's fellowship. If anyone comes in other words, Jesus is knocking. And we've used that for salvation. And that's true. He's saying, hey, you'll invite me into your life. I'll come in as Savior. But he'll come in as a lot more than Savior. He can come in and have fellowship with you. You can be close to him. But it's up to you. You don't want to limit him by thinking, no, if he wants to be close to me, he will. No. We have to open the door. We have to say, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. Years ago, before I ever met Joy, I was coming out of college. I was really not in a good place spiritually. And I woke up one morning. And it was a very strange experience, but I just sat down and these words just came to me. I wrote them. And the Lord will use me to write poems, but these words came to me. It says, I've got plans for your life when you decide to live them. I've got riches and wisdom. I'm just waiting to give them. So when you yield to my will and let me determine what's best, then your life will abound with love, joy, and rest. And I remember looking at that going, whoa, that is really cool. I read it to my roommate. He looked at me like, You been smoking? I said, no. This is from the Lord. But did you catch that? I got plans for your life when you decide to live them. It's not when the Lord said, okay, I'm now going to do this in Alan's life. No, Alan had to say, Lord, I open the door to you. And can I tell you, he did exactly what he said. He had wonderful plans for me. And my life has abounded with love, joy, and rest. But I had to open that door. Now, I want to show you from the scriptures, because you're as quiet as the first group was. Because I think a lot of times people think, no, it's all up to God. And people don't realize you can actually limit the Lord in your life. Now, I'm going to show you a place where in two towns, Jesus went to two towns, same Jesus, same chapter, and had two totally different results. But let's see what happened. Here's his hometown. Jesus went out from there and came to his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which was given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he, what's that next word? Could do no mighty work there. Now people say, Jesus could do anything he wanted. That said, he could do no mighty work there, except he laid hands on a few sick people. The actual Greek reads a few people with minor ailments and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about in the villages in the circuit teaching. Now, don't shut down on me because you're like, well, Jesus, do anything. No, not in his hometown. He went to his hometown. He stood up to speak. And instead of the people going, oh, man, this is good. This is good. Man, when this guy speaks, this is awesome. They're like, the questioning. Where'd you get this stuff? How come we're hearing about these mighty works being done by him? And then they said the classic. Isn't this the carpenter? The carpenter, that's how they knew him. They knew him from his past. Now, you know, I know sometimes people have read stories about, you know, Jesus when he was little, healing little birds and healing friends that hurt themselves. Jesus didn't heal anyone until his ministry started after the baptism of John in the Jordan River. That's when the Holy Spirit came on him, and that's when he began to do amazing things. People say, he didn't grow up. Listen, if Jesus had grown up being so amazing, people are getting healed, and there's miracles all around him, and he was such a strong leader, and he's the best-looking guy in town. When he showed back up, his hometown went, that's our boy. That is our boy right there. That's our, yes, sir, he is from Nazareth. They're looking at him going, where'd you get this? And isn't this the carpenter? Yeah, we know his mama. And his brothers. I work with his sisters down at Target. I know this is nuts. They kept talking about the past, and they kept talking about we don't get it. And they were offended because Jesus was making claims that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because he anointed him to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent him to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to proclaim the Jubilee. This is what the Messiah would do. And Jesus said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And instead of them going, woo, they went, woo. No. And they were offended. And he couldn't do much there. Now you say, well, maybe Jesus didn't like people in his hometown. No, Jesus was not petty. He knew these people. He loved these people. He wanted to help them. But I want you to see what happened in another town, right across the lake. When they had crossed over, Jesus and the disciples, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran throughout that whole surrounding region, began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. And whenever they entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were what? Made well. That's a, man, you talk about a revival? That's a revival. But what was the difference? The other people, when Jesus showed up, everybody's got their arms crossed going, where'd you get this stuff? I mean, he's a carpenter. We know he's a carpenter. Where'd he get this stuff? Where are all these mighty miracles and all this stuff going on? In fact, Jesus said, no prophet is without honor except in his own hometown. By the way, some of you are going to be going out and having dinner, and holidays are here. It's dinner time with people you don't normally get together with, your relatives. And so when you get together with your relatives and you're excited about what Jesus has been doing in your life, don't be surprised if they're not crazy about you. Don't be surprised they look at you and go, I've changed your diapers. I remember that. Don't be surprised if they look at you and go, oh, who do you think you are? We used to party together. Listen, it's a lot of times the people that know us the most have the hardest time receiving from us. Just love them, be good, shed a little Jesus on them, and don't preach to them. Don't look at them and go, well, prophet's not without honor except in his own. And so don't do that. Don't do that. Bless the food. Don't play long over the food. Just bless it. Be good. But this is a whole different story. They were like this. The people across the lake went, look, that's Jesus. Jesus, he's the miracle worker. He's the healer. I got a cousin who was blind, been blind all his life, and he touched Jesus and was healed. Miriam had a sister that she knows that said she just touched the hem of his garment and her blood condition went away. That's the healer. The healer's here. And so instead of like this, they're like, Jesus, look, you don't have to stop and pray for anybody. Would you just let us touch the hem of your robe? He had the long robe. Just let us touch the hem of your robe, Jesus. You just walk past us and we're going to touch you. That's all we got to do. Just do that. Such respect. They didn't demand it. They didn't tell him what to do. They just said, could you let us just touch your robe when you come by? And Jesus obviously agreed to it, and they start dragging sick people out in the street. Now, if you've been sick, you don't want anybody messing with you. I don't know about you, but when I'm sick, leave me alone. But they're going to come in and go, where's Mama? Mama's back there. Mama said, don't mess with her when she's sick. She got a horrible headache, and she doesn't feel good. Don't mess with her. No, we're taking Mama and laying her out in the street. Mama's like, what are y'all doing with me? Come on, Mama, Jesus is in town. Look, Mama, all you got to do is stay right here. When he comes by, Mama, don't talk to him. Don't try to tell him anything. Just put your hand on his robe. And people all over the whole area, as many as touched him, were made whole. Same Jesus. Same Jesus. Just across the lake. Jesus didn't walk across the lake and go, well, I like these people here. Let's turn the power up. Here we go. It was the same Jesus. It could have happened in his hometown. His hometown could have said, oh, we're rejoicing. But they didn't. But the ones in Gennesaret, man, I like those people. That's the kind of people I want to be. Oh, Jesus, when you come in here, Jesus is doing some great things. And we're expecting great things from him. They took the limits off of Jesus. How do you take the limits off? Let me give you three things. We can learn from them. First thing is, give him the honor, place of respect and honor in your life that he deserves. I wrote this in a recent devotional, but I mean it so much. I cringe when someone refers to Jesus as the man upstairs. That's not who he is. Let me show you who he is. Being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the name above every name. He's the authority above every authority. That's who he is. So don't be offended if he takes the claim of being Lord in your life. And don't be offended if he asks you to do something for him. You know, a lot of times we've been too one-sided. We talk about all the benefits. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing, and I'm for it. But I want to get to the place where it's not just, Lord, what can you do for me? How about this? Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Hey, pray that this week. Lord, what can I do for you this week? Not just, oh, help me, bless me, do this for me. How about, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, you have blessed me. What can I do for you? A number of years ago, I had a falling out with a brother. Brother in the Lord. We'd been close, and we had a falling out, and some things were done and said. Quite frankly, they hurt me. And when we parted ways, we parted ways. I was done. And we didn't talk for years. And when he reached out, I pretty much ignored it. Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice. It gets better. I ignored him, but I was done. I was okay. You go your way, I go mine. And Jordan and I went to a conference. We're sitting in the conference. And the minister in the conference started telling a story. He was telling a story about a pastor that he knew. And he said, this was a pastor, friend of mine. He said, and this pastor fell out of sorts with another pastor in town. And I'm listening to the story. I'm going, uh-oh. You ever been sitting in church and it sounds like the spotlight just hits you like, boom. Just do what I did. I've been around long enough. I just like, praise God, this is good. He said, this pastor, that he fell out of sorts. They weren't talking. They had not reconciled anything. He said, this pastor, the guy's telling the story. So the pastor who was offended was walking across the parking lot to his car. He said, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to reconcile. Not an audible voice. He just knew in his heart, I want you to go reconcile with this other pastor. And he stopped. He said, Lord, I don't much want to do that. And the Lord said, would you do it for me? He said, yes, Lord, I'll do it for you. And I'm sitting there listening to that going, oh, my Lord. Because I didn't hear anything else in the whole message. Because now I'm grappling with that. Because I knew that whole story was for me. And so, man, when the message is over, I did what any spiritual man would do. I asked my wife. I said, Joy, did you hear that story? Joy looked at me, she said, oh, yeah, that's you. I knew it was me. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to reconcile for him. When I got back, I called this brother, asked if I could come see him. And he said yes, and when I came and saw him at his office, we hugged, we cried. We got it right. And what he told me, though, he said, Alan, he said, 2 weeks ago, I was sitting right here at the desk, and I bowed my head, and I said, Lord, can you help me reconcile this with Alan? Would you do it for me? Yes. Because you're Lord, not just Savior. You're Lord, and I will give you that place of respect and honor that you deserve. Second thing, don't allow your perceived limits to limit him. Wrong believing, you can disqualify yourself from ever having a relationship with the Lord. Here's one. Oh, Alan, that spiritual stuff, that's great for you. That's not for me. I'm not spiritual. Actually, you are spiritual. You haven't developed it, but you are. The Bible talks about the hidden man of the heart. This is the part of us that's eternal. We are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we're in the body. One day we'll leave this body, but we will take our spirit with us. And so people say, I'm not spirit. Here's another one. Alan, my past is so bad that I know the Lord doesn't want to have a relationship with me because of how I was in the past. Or maybe my present's not good. Listen, the moment you made Jesus your Lord, your past was erased in God's eyes. And so your past is not holding you back from him. But I tell you where I think a lot of it is for a lot of people. A lot of people go, I'm just a regular person. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a singer. I'm not in ministry full time. I'm just a regular person. I don't see why Jesus would want to have a relationship with me. And if you believe that, you'll limit the amount of closeness that you can have with them. Because we have a tendency to rate and rank. We look at other people and go, well, Alan ranks because he's a pastor and he's married to Saint Joy. And so she certainly ranks, but I don't. Can I tell you, all of us tend to think that way? You know, I look at pastors who have much larger churches and are more successful, and if I'm not careful, I have to think that God maybe loves them more than he does me, and that's not true, because his character is he loves me and gave himself for me, and he loves you and gave himself for you. Galatians 2:20, Paul was writing, he said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, the life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to take the limits off the Lord? Stop thinking he loves somebody else more than he loves you and say, Lord, I want to thank you. You love me and you gave yourself for me. Your picture's on his phone. When he sees you show up on his app, he swipes right. He wants a relationship with you. It's not based on you. It's based on his character. He is love, and he gave himself for you. Don't limit him by your wrong believing. Then here's the last one. Recognize Jesus for who he is and can be in your life. The people on Gennesaret, when they saw Jesus, they went, ho-ho, the miracle worker's here. When his hometown saw him, they went, here's the carpenter. So how do we recognize Jesus in our life? How do we recognize him? Listen, his word and his Holy Spirit can reveal him, and you begin to see him, and you begin to go, oh, okay, all right. You're not just my Savior, you're my Lord. You're not just my Lord. Jesus, I've been hurting. Thank God you're my healer. Jesus, I've been so anxious, but you are my peace. Jesus, I've been afraid, but you're my safe place. Jesus, I don't know what to do, but you are my shepherd. And how you begin to declare him and who you begin to speak about him can begin to raise your expectations of who he is in your life. And Gennesaret, when they saw Jesus, they ran. When you're excited, you run. When you ever seen these YouTube clips of soldiers coming home and there's like surprising people? And when they see like their dad or their brother across the room, they don't go, oh, hey. They run because they're excited. When you begin to have some expectation, it'll do something for you on the inside. I used to date the traditional dating, drive to pick the girl up. You know, if you drive to the house and pick the girl up, talk to the parents in high school, talk to the parents, and if the girl comes out and goes, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. That's not going to be a good date. That's your time to leave. But when they answer the door and they're like, hey, good to see you. You're thinking, this is going to work out okay. There's excitement there. When you begin to have an expectation, when's the last time you got excited about spending time with the Lord? Not I have to read my Bible. Lord, I get to read your word because you reveal yourself in your word. And I begin to see you and you're showing me that you are. That you are my healer, that you are my provider, that you are the one who is my safe place. You're the one who restores me. You are my shepherd. You're my guide. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And what that begins to do, when you begin to declare and to praise him and to thank him for that, you begin to lift the limits off. You begin to realize, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I got somebody with me who's strong, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Expectation. Begin to raise your expectation of your relationship with the Lord. He wants a relationship with you. But not one that's like, okay, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. No. You're going to spend time with somebody who loves you more than anybody else. And someone who can do more for you than anybody else. And someone you can be a blessing to. Tell your story about expectation. We'll close. One of my favorites. Single father, tough job. Single dad, had a six-year-old son. Mom died when the boy was young. He'd done everything he could to raise the boy. And he'd gotten busy, but he thought, I'm going to take this little guy on a picnic. He's never been on a picnic before. And so they packed the lunch, and they were all ready to go that night, and the boy was excited because he was going to go on a picnic with his dad, and he was just pumped up. And his dad put him in bed, and the boy said, "I'm having a hard time sleeping, Dad." He said, "Dad, you'll be okay." And dad laid down to go to bed, and the boy was right there in his room. He said, "Daddy, I can't sleep." He was so excited about the picnic. He said, "Son, we're going to need to get our rest. I need you to go back." Boy goes back, and father's starting to drift off, and all of a sudden he hears, "Daddy, Daddy, I can't sleep. I'm so excited about the picnic." Daddy said, "Son, I need you to go to sleep. We need to get our rest." The little guy gets quiet, and the father's just about drifting off, when all of a sudden there's a face right in front of him. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's when you're trying to sleep and all of a sudden they're standing right, Matt was notorious, standing right over you going, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And when the man woke up, and he was angry, but then he saw the look on the boy's face. And the little guy said, "Daddy, I just want to thank you for tomorrow. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you for something that hasn't happened yet. Oh, you want to take the limits off the Lord? Begin to thank him that he is your healer, your provider, your strengthener, your guide, your shepherd. Before you ever see it change, thank him that he loves you and wants a relationship with you. Jesus, I want to thank you that you're with me today. You'll be with me tomorrow. And 10,000 years from now, I'll be praising you. Thank you, Jesus, for tomorrow. Thank you for who you are." Bow your heads with me for a second. We'll be out of here in just a moment. But if you came and said, or you're watching online, you said, "Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do." Or maybe you realize, "I did it one time and I've gotten away from it, but I want to come back." We're going to pray. I'm not going to have you stand up or come up to the front, but we're going to pray. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you today listening to me, or you're watching online, if that's you and you hear this and you say, "That's me. I'm not sure where I stand, but I want a relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me?" Would you slip your hand up real quickly just across the auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for your courage. Anybody else? Say, "Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me?" Thank you. Thank you. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to say this prayer. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. If you're online, I can't see you, but you can pray this prayer with us out loud. We're going to pray it together as a church family. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Heavenly Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer. For those who've come to you for the first time, for those who've come back, we rejoice with them, what's taking place in their life. And Father, for those of us who know you and have walked with you, thank you. Help us take the limits off of our relationship with you. There's so much out there, so much for us that you have, so many wonderful plans when we decide to live them. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.